Time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. And if you walk in wearing your Daniel Jones jersey...
That's right, an extra 10% off today only. Listen, my message in the bottle, the Giants are back. Sort of.
Back of everybody else in the standings?
God, it's fine. Listen, I mean, at least now we're rebuilding as opposed to pretending.
Yes.
I mean, there's Miami Dolphins, I mean, whatever they're doing. And then there's legitimate teams that are rebuilding, and that's respectable because, I mean, you can rebuild and come back great. But then there's those teams, those mid-level teams that you just watch every year, and I couldn't stand watching the Giants become one of these teams.
Oh,
These Jacksonvilles, these Titans, these people like, yeah, we got a quarterback. You don't really, though, and therefore you don't have a chance of actually winning anything.
Hoping you get that 9-win season and sneak in to play one game.
It's like the coach is, you know, playing for just saving his job and stuff like that, and so I'm like, at least you're doing something. And it was funny. I was actually ruminating on the fact that 2 years ago, around this time, maybe a couple weeks hence, just before I went on, I found out that Eli had been benched for the Hall of Famer Geno Smith, surefire lock. And I was like, this is, you know, again, it felt like these middling things. And there's nothing more I can't stand in sports in general. I mean, these people are blessed with just the most ridiculous jobs in the world. And I mean that for the management and everything as well. Like, it's just crazy that you're, get into the reason I'm actually here. This is why I hate a lot of wine companies too. They like really kind of reach this plateau of mediocrity and have, you know, one great season or one great review or whatever. And then they're like, cool, we're good. We can sell this, whatever this is, off to one, you know, Constellation or OPG or whatever. And they're going to ride with this at $35 a bottle for the rest of their lives until they discontinue this. And, you know, it's just the most depressing thing in the world. So in terms of football and you know, it just happened to the Devils too. And it's like, finally, you know, eventually you got to be like, all right, man, we really do need to start rebuilding, as long as you're serious about it and not just continually accumulating stock pick or draft picks and pretending that you're actually one day going to be good like the Dolphins. And then you've got the Patriots. What is the Patriots? What?
They're just on another plane.
I don't even understand. Like even in college, like Alabama finally had people catch up.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, and Adam Vinatieri, he's got demons now, and they were smart enough to get rid of him 13, 14 years ago.
Back when he was in his 50s.
That's right. It's remarkable. I hope everybody out there who is a Patriots fan is enjoying this, because it's just unthinkable. It's, you know, you are in for a fall.
Oh gosh!
Like, yes. I thought it was bad when the Giants beat you in the bet. You were able to. It's like water off a duck's back. Nothing.
Yeah, we lost a couple of them. Won the other six.
Matters not.
That's what they say.
Matters not. No. You're gonna have a seventh, and there we are. So I had one of my sales reps today. I've told him about this radio spot for time immemorial at this point. And finally today it dawned on him that I actually talk about wine on it. Like, yeah, what do you really think they have me on to chatter about, like, you know, second come first string quarterbacks? No, I'm not that good. We're here talking about California, which is in and of itself fascinating. We've talked a little bit about why California, where did it come from, and what made it, right? We talked about the Judgment of Paris in 1976. We talked about the people who kind of came in the various waves of California. But let's be honest. I mean, California is kind of known for a couple of things. And we talked about Cabernet, and we talked about Chardonnay. But what it's really become famous for, and what I kind of want to talk about, is this other face of California, the face of Apothic. Or the case of really good blends and really good, the other face, right? So what's up with California? California, it's stunning to me, and I was just doing this again today. I was looking at a map of the wine country in California. It is so vast. It is so ungodly good. From north to south, I mean, just north of Los Angeles, essentially, and even south of Los Angeles, but just north of Los Angeles is where you start to have like legitimate wine regions that are now being noted. And you go so far north. I mean, literally, it's encompassing several countries worth, if you will, of terroir. But the other really interesting thing is it's not really the north-south thing that I want to talk about and want to mention. It's more the east-west. It's the proximity to the Pacific Ocean. The Pacific Ocean provides all these, if you will, countries worth of terroir with the ability to grow so many things. We're obviously talking about grapes, but it's unreal. So you've got the Pacific Ocean, which provides beautiful cooling patterns of wind, right? And as we always talk about, you know, grapes ripening, and you're able to see it even here. I don't know if anybody has grapes planted in their backyards, but I do. And it's not that they're great grapes, but it's just kind of fun to see the life cycle. And right now they just passed through Verizon, which is that time when they turn red, or they sort of they show their true colors, which is, you know, Verizon. And so you've got cooling breezes coming in now to Maine, and that's sort of indicative of what, you know, really lengthens the ripening season in California. And the reason that's important is because California is pretty ungodly hot. A lot of it is really, 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 really warm, and it benefits from this continual cycle of cooling and heating and cooling and heating. And the other thing that California has in droves is mountains. And so you've got the Pacific Ocean, you've got mountain range, then you've got wide valley, then you've got more mountain range. And this is actually a very similar thing that happens. We'll talk about this next month when we talk, or 2 months hence, I think, when we talk about South America. These things basically create like tunnels for this cooling air to go right into all these valleys and cool the produce, anywhere from the valley floor all the way up onto the mountainsides. And it is just incredibly beneficial to these grapes. And so what you're getting is not just grapes that grow well in heat, the thicker skinned grapes that we all think of, Cabernet, obviously, Zinfandel, a big one, Mataro, which I mentioned last week, which the French know as Mourvèdre and the Spanish know as Monastrell. These are grapes that flourished early because they didn't really know where to plant, which is up on the hillside. But now that people started to explore the hillsides, which have both heat, drainage, and cooling, now you're starting to see wines like the wine I brought today, which is a blend of Sauvignon Blanc and Gewürztraminer. It is our wine of the week. It is from Trujillo Vineyards, and Mike Trujillo basically made his bones with the winery Sequoia Grove. He helped to plant their Rutherford vineyard back in the early 80s and just kind of stuck around and became their president and chief winemaker all the way up into the 2000s, at which point he took his money and went and did his own thing. So he is operating out of Napa Valley. And again, we think of Napa as hot, as Cabernet, as things like that. You're not going to grow good Gewürztraminer in hot. It's just not going to happen. Sauvignon Blanc, ditto. These are grapes that are A, lighter skinned. They need a little more finesse. They need cooling. They need acidity, right? I mean, Sauvignon Blanc is by itself, by its nature, sort of an acidic grape, but Gewürztraminer is not. In fact, my chief complaint about most Gewürztraminers of lesser quality is that they have no acidity because the wine growers didn't think to grow it in a place where it would gain that, or didn't think to pick it in time that it was not overripe and lacking in acidity. But you're seeing wines like this, and you're also seeing blends of varying kinds. So what's going on? And I'd kind of like to explore this. I'll explore it a little today and then a little bit more next week. Is this kind of combination of this old world aesthetic with a new world that is capable of growing unbelievable amounts of variety, right? So let's talk about blends just in general and where they came from. So you have all these places in Europe where you're expected to know what the wine is because of where it's grown, right? So you have a name, say Chateau Neuf du Pape on a label. It's up to you to know that there's 22 grapes that are favored in that region, that grow well in that region. But that region's pretty small. We're talking the Southern Rhone Valley, which is a pretty big region in France, but is not overall big because you can fit several Frances in California. So again, going back to this idea of north and south, aided by these Pacific breezes, you've got several different countries worth of Rhone valleys, if you will. Well, that's important because there's people called the Rhone Rangers in California who said, you know, I'll bet in this place, in this place, in this place, the grapes that grow really well in Chateauneuf-du-Pape will grow. Grenache, Syrah, Mourvèdre. Oh, we already had Mourvèdre, didn't we? Mataro, Mourvèdre, that's already there. But also more delicate grapes, Marsan, Roussan, these are white grapes that you see in the Rhone. Obviously, the Gewürztraminer we're drinking now. Rieslings, Petit Verdot, things that are put in Bordeaux wines, Tempranillo. You're seeing a lot of Tempranillo now planted, Spanish wines. But a lot of them are not held sacred like they're held sacred in Europe. They're blended into things, and people are creating really, really, really cool, interesting blends. Now, the sort of underbelly to all this is, as I was mentioning, apothic, right? Like, there's a lot of people making blends out of a bunch of stuff that are fine. They're not even fine. They're real junk. They're made out of chemically processed fruit, and they're made in factories, not wineries. So you get both sides of this thing. You get like really, really serious, cool blends from people who are exploring what California can give you, because especially if you label it with just a California appellation, not a specific vineyard site even, you're going to get variety to where you're, you know, the world's your oyster. But even, again, an example of this wine we're drinking today, you have from just the Napa Valley the ability to have Gewürztraminer Sauvignon Blanc. And this guy's other specialty is, surprise, Cabernet Sauvignon. And they're really exquisite, and they sell for a lot of money. So this is our wine of the week, by the way, and it is just over $20. It is absolutely worth it. It is a wine that will go great with a lot of stuff. I have a couple more minutes, so I did want to mention a couple things. First of all, Thursday is our tasting with Bangin' Whoopie. Bangin' Whoopie now has their new location near the museum downtown, the kids museum, and they contacted us and they said, let's do a thing. So we're doing a thing. I am pairing wines with whoopie pies. I did my best. I think they're going to be pretty cool. So come on out, see if I did a good job. And even if I didn't, I mean, hey, free wine and free whoopie pies. Like, good math, right?
There you go.
And I also wanted to mention that we're putting together some really cool things. The 10th anniversary of our buying the store is November 9th.
Whoa.
Yeah, 10 years. Crazy, but really cool. And I love all of you for helping support us for 10 years. Thank you. And as a way of thanking you, we're putting together a number of really cool events, tasting dinners, hopefully a Bordeaux seminar, a bubbly tasting on our anniversary from 1 to 3. Mm-hmm. So keep tuned, because we're doing some stuff to celebrate. And I look forward to seeing you all in the shop and back here next Tuesday.
Thank you, Eric.
Cheers.
Good luck getting loose on the sidelines behind Mr. Jones.
I'm sending my son.
Why
He's
not?
Better than I am.
Why not?
Great spiral.